Are we going to use this one too? Can I use this? Who's giving me a yes or no?
You won't have to.
It's on?
Unless you're walking around, you won't need that one.
I probably need this one. I can stay back here if you want me to. I can do that. I'm glad to be here. I really am. I look forward to it from the time that I was called and asked. I started thinking about the days gone by and the years gone by since I was here. And I have nothing but great memories, I do, of this. When your preacher got up here and he starts talking, Brother McNeil gets up here, he starts talking about what he's going to do with that, put it on a website, put all that. I know nothing about that. You know, I'm one of those illiterate people when it comes to computers and technology. I just flunked. I really did. But he can sing too. I sit up here by him. He can sing too. Not only is he able to do those things, but he can also sing. I can't sing, Jim. You know that, though. I can't sing. I've got to tell this story, and I'm going to tell this story, and then we're going to get to the Word. But I probably have said this before. I know Claude's probably heard it two or three times. But back when I was just a teen, just starting the church, was baptized, you know, And the guy that was there at Mountain Home, or Buford, Arkansas, south of Mountain Home, he had several of us young men that he was going to train up to be teachers and preachers of the gospel. And during that period of time, he decided first we'd start with singing. He's going to teach us to sing. He was an old singing school teacher and a good teacher of the gospel. And so he worked with us, and he put us up in to sing on Wednesday nights. And when it come time, Donnie Lovelady took his turn and sung, did a good job. Jerry the next week did his job, and it was good. Bobby was next, and then Johnny was next, and then come Ray's time, and I got up there and did it too. The next time he's putting out those people, he took Donnie and Jerry and Bobby and Johnny, but no Ray. So I thought I'd fix them. I'd just start preaching. They had to take turns. I didn't. So, Jim, that's how I started, if you want to know. Okay? Got some great friends. I want you to open your Bible with me to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'd like for us to go to verse 33. You're familiar with this passage. This passage is there near the middle of what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. This passage of Scripture, probably is without a doubt as important, if not more important, than any other passage found in God's precious Word. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God said, "I want you to seek first and foremost My kingdom." You know, when He's speaking about the kingdom here, He is not speaking about the idea, I want you to listen to this, the idea of heaven itself. He was talking about the church now. He was talking about how that we need to seek out and search the church. That means of many things to many of us. For example, if you will, when He talks about the kingdom of God, He's talking about us seeking out the things that we have in the church. He's talking about the blessings that God has given us in His Son Jesus. Jesus being therefore the head of the church, and we are part of the body. He was talking about us making an effort, an all-out effort, to seek out what God wants. If I read my Bible properly, in the book of John, the 5th chapter, verses 39 and 40, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you do think you have eternal life. For they are they which do testify of Me." God wants us to look. He wants us to seek. He wants us to search out what God says. Now, I want you to do something for me during this gospel meeting, if you will. Number one, I want you to come every night. I want you to bring your Bible, okay? And number two, I want you to do as the apostle writes in Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 11, if you will, by inspiration, where it says they not only received with readiness of mind the things that were presented, but they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things be so. He praised those people, those Bereans, as being more noble than those at Thessalonica. And if you're a Bible student in any way, you know that the church of Thessalonica was a great church. It was a good church. As a matter of fact, the apostle writing to them talked about how that they showed, exemplified their faith in Him all the days of their being. And how that they were seen of other places and that people watched them and learned of them because of their commitment to Christ Jesus. And these Bereans here in Acts 17, chapter verse 11, the apostle says were more noble than those people over there. And the only reason, are you listening to me? The only reason they were more noble was because they searched the Scripture. I love that passage. I love that passage. You know, if we would search the Scripture more, if we'd give more time to study the will and Word of God, what a difference it would make, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those around about us. You see, we are not islands, if you will, but we reach out to each and every person. We're a part of a gathering of people. We're the ecclesia of God. And that we can support and help each other more than any other thing. And now turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the verses 25. I alluded to that in the class this morning. I love this passage. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, as I said this morning, I'm not talking about looking at what that day approaching is. I'm not interested in that so much as that I am in the present tense of now. That we need to not only assemble together, but we need to exhort one another. We need to build each other up. That's what God wants. And so during this gospel meeting, in talking about becoming a stronger church, in talking about reaching our potentials, we must realize one great important thing, and that is that we're all in the Lord for one cause. Remember the difficulties they had at the church at Corinth? As the apostle writes to the church of Corinth, he said, "There has been reported unto me by, if you will, one of the members of the body there, that there were divisions in the church." A church cannot, a church will not grow, a church will not become strong, it will not reach its responsibilities and its potential, unless, of course, that we are unified one with another. And did you know the only way we can be unified one with another is by searching and following what the Bible says? I like that beautiful promise given in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33. All these things will be added unto you. I have no concern, if you will, about what goes on in the world today. You know, I don't like it. I don't like the Supreme Judges making laws where they have no ability to make a law. I don't like that at all. I don't like the idea and the way our world is turning today. I don't like that at all. As a matter of fact, I pray, and I appreciated the prayer a moment ago. I pray that our legislatures, that our people making and enacting laws will one day see the light of God's Word and do those things that they ought to be doing in the first place for the sake of God. Now, I know about that, but I'll tell you this. God is still in command no matter what happens. And so, therefore, if I continue to follow God and do what God says, I have no worries. Are you listening to that? I have no worries. Remember this passage, if you will, in the Philippian letter in the 4th chapter, beginning of verse 6. I love this passage, too. It says, "Be anxious in nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And if we'll do that, I want you to notice the promise that God gives unto us. Not only does He say in Matthew 6:33, all these things will be added to you, but here in this passage He says, if we will do that, He says He gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. I love that. And so God has made a wonderful promise to me. He's made a wonderful promise to you. And if we will but follow His will, we have something that God says we should enjoy. Now in your Bibles, turn with me to the 4th chapter again of Philippians, and I want you to go to verse 4. I love this passage too. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You know, this passage tells us this, that we have reason to rejoice, and that we must rejoice, and He says it twice, does He not? But today, sometimes I think that we forget that we are to be joyful. Oh, Jesus died for me. I take great joy in the fact that He loved me enough that He died for me. That passage from John 3 and verse 16 that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." Isn't that a beautiful passage? Isn't that a wonderful promise from our God? And we have it here in this passage of Matthew 6, verse 33. He will give us those things that we need. He will provide for us all that we need in this life. Oh, I have a wonderful God, do I not? And do not I have a loving Savior that loves me so much that He was willing to give Himself for me? Oh, do we count our many blessings? I don't know about you, but several years ago, I got me one of those little phones. Now, I have one now, too. It's called an iPhone. I don't know why. I guess it's because it belongs to me. But I want you to know, I got me one of these little phones. And in this phone, I found out you can do more than just call people and talk to people. I found out if you push a little button here and there, it'll bring up other things like a calculator. And when I'm sitting in a doctor's office, I know you've been to a doctor, haven't you, most of us? And when we go into the doctor's office, we sit down and we barely get seated and they say, next, and we're called in, right? Seldom does that happen. We sit there. That's why they call them patients, okay? But we sit there and we wait for our turn. And I've learned to utilize that time for my growth. Are you listening to me? To reach my potential, if you will. Because while I'm sitting there, this song that sometimes we sing, I begin to count my many blessings. I begin to name them one by one. And I sit down there with that little calculator, and I push in a button that says one. And then I push in another one that says one. And it's amazing, over a period of time, how many ones add up to a whole bunch. Hey, count your many blessings. Utilize the times we have. God has been good. Yes, God is good to us. I want you to think about it with me just for a few moments this morning. And they didn't tell me when I had to quit. Okay? I didn't. I guess, are you going to wave at me or something? No, not a preacher. Okay, they're all healed to do this. Yeah, okay. But I want you to notice how God has taken care of us in the past and He'll take care of us now. I want you to write these things down, please, because I think it's time that we know. I know you're recording these and you're going to have it. That's okay. We record everything that I do in Harrison or in Bellefonte. We record everything. It's on TV, you know. But I want you to write these things down. First of all, God has always taken care of His people. Remember back in the Old Testament times? Remember back in the book of Exodus in the 13th chapter? Remember when Moses led the children of Israel, God's precious people, like Christians, by the way, His own people? He led them through the wilderness wanderings. You remember, if you will, that He had set before them a pillar of fire there by night. He had a cloud in the daytime. He said, I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to show you the direction. Isn't that what He was stating in that? Remember, if you will, He delivered them across the Red Sea. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. If you will, I want you to think about Exodus 14 chapter. I want you to think about how God took care of His people. Hey, can you... I don't know, there was a Ten Commandment movie years ago, now predates some of y'all, but it was a movie that had Charlton Heston in it as Moses. And of all the things that I remember about that movie, one stood out in particular, and I wasn't very old when I watched this, was when Moses stood and he stretched forth the rod and the waters parted. That was one of the best special effects ever made for a movie. And it's moved. And I thought about that as I read and study my Bible. And now, because of that, I can picture that. And the children of God went across. God protected His people. When they were chasing them down, what happens? The water collapses, doesn't it? And it destroys the enemy. People that follow. One of the things that I like about when God took Moses. Remember, God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, if you will. And He tells Moses about He is going to lead the children. Remember the story? And Moses says, I can't do it. Kind of like us when the elders come to us and, would you teach a class? I can't do it. Could I get you? No, I can't. You know, I say sometimes, I know none of y'all are that way. I understand that I'm speaking about other places, am I not? But God always takes care of His people. God helps us through, does He not? God loves us. He told Moses, He says, you may be slow of speech, but I'm going to send Aaron, your brother, with you. He'll be a mouthpiece for you. And Moses went ahead and done it, resisting somewhat Reluctant a whole lot, but nevertheless, he did what God told him to do. And that's how God took care of his people in the Old Testament times. But we're living in a newer and a better time, aren't we? We're living under the New Testament dispensation. We're living under the law of grace, the law of love. We're under the law of Christ, who loved us. Remember over there, I mentioned this morning in a passage of Scripture from John. You remember the 13th chapter of the book of John? Remember how he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another? Love one another? And then he says, as I have loved you, and we have the example of Christ Jesus loving us and dying on the cross. Remember, if you will, in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, how God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love was demonstrated to us. And so we're living in a better time. But at the same time, God provides for us today. Now, I want you to write these things down. I'm going to give you 5 points if I can remember them. Okay? Number one, I want you to take this point. He's the Christ of power. When I was in college, I had a roommate named Darwin Cooper. He was also a preacher of the gospel, preached over at Franklin, Arkansas. Darwin Cooper stood 6 foot, a little over 6 foot six, about 6'7". He weighed at that time about 388 pounds, and he was square. I mean, a rectangle, I should say. He was strong. He carried a bunk bed with four guys laying across the top bunk, across the room, just to show us. Now, when I would go down in Jonesboro, Arkansas, into these areas, and Darwin was with me, I never feared anything. I didn't. Well, let me tell you something today. We have better than that with us. We have Jesus Christ. We have the power of God. We have a divine power that cannot be defeated. Listen to Matthew 28, verse 18. He proclaims unto his disciples upon this occasion, all power and authority had been given unto him on earth as well as in heaven. He has all power and authority, and he's ours. Remember John 1, beginning with verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God in the beginning, and all things were made by that Word. And that Word became flesh, verse 14. God tells us we have Jesus. Jesus is mine. I am Jesus. I'm going to make a statement that some of you may not like, and if you do not like it, I'll apologize first for making this statement. And you can come and tell me if it offends you, and I'll apologize to you again. I'm just like Sears and Roebuck used to be. If you bought something from Sears and Roebuck years ago, and something was wrong with it, you could take it back, if you will, and show them that it was wrong, and they'd replace it. I'm not like Walmart. You take something back there, doesn't have to be anything wrong with it. They'll take it back most of the time. So if you disagree with me, but I don't have any problem with looking at this idea that Christ personally loves me and that I personally love him. Okay? And so I want to get personal with Jesus. I want to be personal with God. God gives me that power to do so because we are together. Remember what Paul writes by inspiration in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Though I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me, my faith in God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I tell you what, I am crucified with Christ. That's the statement we all ought to make and be able to make. And so therefore, I want you to know that God is blessing me in that he has given me Jesus to guide me through. Let's go to another passage of Scripture from the book of Romans, the first chapter, and the verses 16. You're familiar with these passages. You have a wonderful preacher preaching for you, a wonderful teacher teaching you. You're aware of the Scripture. You guys have been in the Scripture for years. You have always demanded Bible from the pulpits, and I appreciate that. This passage says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew and also to the Greek, or the Gentile, if you're reading from a different translation. God says we're not ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't. Christ is not only the power for us and gives me the power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and the verses 13. He is the power, but he's also a very generous giver to me. All that is necessary for time, for life, and for truth is given to me by God. If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. Most of you have memorized this because it's been with you so long and many times. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect. Some passages say complete, thoroughly furnished, fully equipped unto every good work. All Scripture is given to us for that purpose, that we might be complete in the sight of God. God says, my word is sufficient. In the book of 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, and verse 3, in the latter part thereof, the Bible says we've been given all things that pertain unto life as well as unto godliness. In Titus 2, beginning with verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, we should live soberly, we should live godly in this present world. Oh, I love Titus 2, 11 to 12. I love that passage because it's such a challenge to me as well as to you. Christ is also, he gives us wonderful promises, doesn't he? Probably the promise I like best in all the Bible that he gives unto me is found in the book of Hebrews, if you will, in the 13th chapter in verse 5, where he promised me that he would never leave me, nor will he forsake me. He's always with me. I like that. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David writes by inspiration, he would fear no evil. If we know that Christ is with us, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the condition that arrives or comes upon us, we have the protection of God. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Oh, Matthew 28, verse 20. Sometimes we use 19 and 20, but we use 19 especially when it tells us to go into all the world. But I want you to notice the promise that's given in verse 20. If we're willing to walk out in the streets of this town or in the communities of which we live, that he promises unto us. And lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the age, end of the world, end of time, I'm with you. God wants us to know that he's with us and he promises to protect us. And then we also know that Christ gives us this promise. If we seek and search for him, he gives us the promise that we can and we will escape from this world. You know, the world is filled with bad things today. It's a terrible world in which we live in today, if we think like man thinks. But it's a wonderful world if we think like God thinks. If we think about how we have one another, for each other, and of each other. Away from the evils of this age, God promised to take us. My favorite chapter in the Bible, and I have to always tell people this, I've told you before, so say I now again, okay? My favorite chapter in all the Bible is John, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. You got that? 17th chapter of the book of John. Now, when people talk about the Lord's Prayer, and they go back to perhaps the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, I think about the Lord's Prayer, I think about the prayer in John 17. In John 17, Jesus is offering up a prayer unto the Father. Listen to this, on behalf of me, I take it personally. And one of the things he prays for, not that I be taken from this world or out of this world, but that I might be protected from the evils of this world. Now, who prayed that for me? Oh, Brother McNeil might pray that for me. And I would love that, and I'd appreciate that, and I'd have confidence and comfort in his prayer. But this is Jesus, the only begotten Son of Almighty God, the one that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4th chapter and the verses 15. And what did he pray for? That I'd be taken care of. I love that. That's my favorite chapter in all the Bible. If you're interested, my favorite book in all the Bible is Philippians, if you will, because I like that up drive. You know, I don't want to be a person that when you walk into the room, it goes dark and gloomy. I want one that when I walk in the room, it becomes lighter. I'm not a Johnny Cash. I better wait. I may think about this. I may have brought one black suit with me. But I really don't like black suits. No offense to you guys that wear them. They look good on people, and maybe they might look good on us. Well, no. But anyway, but I think we are to look at the upside of what God does for us. Upside. Oh, yes, I believe in condemning sin. I do. Not the sinner, but the sin. I'm for us realizing we're in a world that needs to be, we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. But you know, I like to look at what God says He'll do for us. And the older I get and the closer I get to the end of my time, I think about it more and how beautiful it is to have that promise from God. And God says we can escape from this corruption that's in this world. We can. And He says He will for us. And then He's the Christ that will make us and help us to share in the heavenly nature. I don't know about some people, but when I read 2 Peter, the first chapter in verse 4, and it tells me there, not only do we have precious promises that we share one with another, but He tells me there that we can be partakers of a divine nature. Not speaking of an egotistical way, but speaking on what He promised and what He'll give to us. You know, there are many things that we can say about what God gives unto us in the Scriptures. But can you imagine anything that might be better than that? Than being a partaker of the heavenly nature of Almighty God. God wants us to realize what we have in Him. And that promise that was made by our Lord in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in the talking about and of what Jesus will do, He says, it all depends upon me. And that depending on whether or not I seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is His word. Psalms 119, verse 172. And if we will seek out the kingdom of God to see what God wants us to be in the part of the church, the body of Jesus, and then do it, God says He'll bless us over and over and over again. Now, my friends, if you're not a member of the church and you're in this assembly this morning, I want you to know these promises that we've been talking about, this protection that we've talked about, these wonderful blessings of fellowship one with another and with Christ Jesus are not yours, but they can be. God wants them to be if you'll just obey the gospel. You need to hear the blessed word of God. It is God's power unto salvation. You must have faith in Jesus Christ being God's only begotten. You must repent of your sins. You must confess His beautiful name. You must be baptized, have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then God will raise you up so that you might walk in a new life with the promises that He makes. And we that are Christians, are we, do we continue on to follow the Lord? You see, sometimes we trip and we fall. But Jesus didn't die just for those that are in the world. He died to take away our sins when we repent of them as well. I like to say this. The same blood that takes away your sins when we are baptized into Christ is the same blood that takes away our sins when we repent of them before God. If you have a need this morning, whatsoever the need might be, it is our prayer, it is our plea with you that you'll respond to the invitation as we stand together and as we sing.
All to Jesus I